We'll hear from the internal committee chairs with their respective Judicial Council committee reports. Justice Baxter, Chair, Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee met four times since our last council meeting, taking positions on behalf of the Judicial Council on 19 separate pieces of legislation, approving seven legislative proposals to go out for public comment, and adopting recommendations on six proposals for Judicial Council sponsorship. On March 7th, the committee acted to support Assembly Bill 492 relating to Proposition 36 probation cases and opposed Assembly Bill 515 and Senate Bill 123 relating to the California Environmental Quality Act. The committee also considered OGA's practice of providing the legislature with fiscal analysis of pending legislation that has a fiscal impact on the branch. The committee directed that OGA prepare fiscal impact statements for bills that do the following. First of all, add new or expand upon existing courtroom procedures, jury service requirements, hearing requirements, sentencing guidelines, or administrative requirements. Also, direct any one or more of the entities within the judicial branch, including the Judicial Council, the courts, and the AOC, to develop or evaluate new training, pilot programming, or projects. Also, bills that track and report or develop specified data, develop new committees, studies, groups, or reports, and also bills that require the creation of new or modified rules of court and judicial forums. The Office of Governmental Affairs was specifically directed to no longer prepare and submit fiscal impact statements identifying costs to the trial courts on legislation which create new or expanded civil causes of action and new or expanded crimes. The Policy Committee also reviewed nine proposals for Judicial Council sponsored legislation on operational efficiencies, cost savings, and new revenue. Of those proposals, the committee adopted six recommendations for Judicial Council sponsorship and rejected three. The recommendations are at item three on today's agenda. On March 28th, the committee voted to oppose AB 36, dealing with probation officer appointments, and Senate Bill 366, which would implement broad changes to the laws that govern how civil assessments are imposed and processed in the traffic arena. The Policy Committee also acted to oppose Assembly Bill 515 relating to the California Environmental Quality Act, which the committee previously acted on at its March 7th meeting, and Assembly Bill 566 relating to the Trial Court Employment Protection and Governance Act, but directed OGA to work with the authors to explore possible alternatives that are more workable for the courts. Staff also presented the committee with an informational item regarding a report required in Senate Bill 678 relating to the California Community Corrections Performance Incentives Act of 2009. At its April 11th meeting, the committee revisited Senate Bill 123, requiring the Judicial Council to direct the creation of a minimum of 12 new environmental and land use divisions at the Superior Court level to hear CEQA and related cases, and continued to take an opposed position. The committee also acted to oppose Assembly Bill 723 relating to post-release community supervision and Assembly Bill 1118 regarding the statewide bail schedule. And at the same meeting, the Policy Committee also approved for circulation for public comment 6 legislative proposals from the Mental Health Issues Implementation Task Force, Criminal Law Advisory Committee, and the California Tribal Court State Court Forum in conjunction with the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee. On April 18th, the committee considered 9 bills. The committee opposed the following bills: Assembly Bill 301, requiring elections officials to cancel certain affidavits of registration; Assembly Bill 655, relating to court reporters' salary fund; Assembly Bill 756, dealing with expedited judicial review procedures to public works projects; and Assembly Bill 1008, which would eliminate the ability of a judge to perform the duties of a clerk, which are currently permitted under the Code of Civil Procedure. The committee also acted to oppose Senate Bill 530, specifically the provisions relating to certificates of rehabilitation. At this same meeting, the Policy Committee supported Assembly Bill 1006 relating to the sealing and destruction of juvenile court records, and Assembly Bill 1403, which revises the Uniform Parentage Act to make it gender neutral. The committee also took a support if amended and funded position on Senate Bill 597, dealing with a pilot project to provide interpreter services to limited English proficient parties in civil matters, and also voted to take a no position on Assembly Bill 868. In other words, not take a position on Assembly Bill 868, because the current curriculum for juvenile and family court judges would comply with the requirements of that bill. Also, since the council met last, as you know, the Chief Justice delivered her State of the Judiciary address to a joint session of the legislatures. The Chief's address was immediately followed by a meet-and-greet with legislators and guests. In addition, the Bench Bar Coalition's Day in Sacramento occurred that same day, when bench and bar leaders met with legislators on issues of critical importance to the branch. Finally, our Judicial Council-sponsored proposals have been introduced and continue to move through the legislative process. You will be kept informed of the progress of the council-sponsored legislation and other bills of interest to our branch. And that completes my report, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Baxter. Next, we'll hear from Justice Miller, E&P, Executive in Planning.
Thank you, Chief. The committee has met 6 times since the council met in December, both twice in person by telephone and email, and once jointly with RuPro and the Technology Committee. We set the agenda for today and tomorrow's meeting. We also reviewed recommendations regarding 2 out-of-cycle vacancies on the Criminal Law Advisory Committee and made recommendations on those to the Chief Justice. We reviewed comments from the Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch A&E Committee regarding the audit reports for the AOC Facilities Management Unit, Item G, and for the Superior Court of Alameda, Item R, and also on the consent agenda for Los Angeles Superior Court. We reviewed nominations for three upcoming appointments to the Judicial Council for those council member terms ending in September 2013. We reviewed and approved annual agendas for a number of the advisory bodies to the council, and that was in conjunction and with participation from RUPRO and technology committees. And we finalized, again with RUPRO and technology, our recommendations on streamlining the existing structure of the council's advisory groups to consolidate committee activities, strengthen council oversight, and reduce the costs associated with committee operations. And I will report on that later this afternoon. And, Chief, that concludes our report.
Thank you, Justice Miller. We'll hear next from Justice Harry Holt, Chair of Rules and Projects Committee.
Thank you, Chief. Good afternoon. I'd like to say at the outset that I was pleased to hear Justice Miller's E&P report, especially that E&P had not met 38 times since the day before yesterday. That makes what I'm about to tell you much better looking. But in seriousness, the Rules and Project Committee has met three times since February 26th council meeting. On March 11th, RUPRO met by video conference jointly with E&P and the technology committees to continue reviewing the structure, organization, and oversight of the council's advisory groups, a matter to which Justice Miller just referred, and as he said, you'll hear more about later. On March 22nd, RUPRO met by telephone to review seven proposals that had circulated for public comment during the winter rule cycle and a technical amendment report that was not circulated for comment. RUPRO recommends approval of these proposals, which are items A through H on today's consent agenda. RUPRO also met by video conference on April 15th to consider 35 proposals to circulate for public comment. RUPRO approved circulation of the proposals and directed staff to make several changes to the invitation to comment form. As you recall, on the invitations to comment, normally on the last page there's a box that specifically asks for comment on particular matters, and we decided that that was that needed to be expanded. And so the changes to those questions now will include the following. Does the proposal reasonably achieve the stated purpose? Would the proposal provide cost savings? If so, please quantify. If not, what changes might be made that would provide savings or greater savings? If this proposal would be cumbersome or difficult to implement in a court of your size, what changes would allow the proposal to be implemented more easily or simply in a court of your size? And would this proposal have an impact on the public's access to the courts? If a positive impact, please describe. If a negative impact, what changes might lessen that impact? The purpose of the changes is to solicit comments that will assist the advisory committees in providing the Judicial Council with more information about the effect of a proposal on costs, operational impacts, and public access. RUPRO members also approved proposals by email on March 18th, April 5th, and April 17th. In addition to the meetings of the full RUPRO committee, I would like to note that an informal education committee made up of five RUPRO members and chaired by RUPRO Vice Chair Justice Ashman Gerst met earlier today to address Judicial Council Directive Number 79 concerning relaxation of mandatory education requirements for AOC and court staff. Chief, if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them, but that does conclude my report.
Thank you, Justice Holt. We'll hear next from Chair Judge Herman, Technology Committee.
Thank you, Chief. The Judicial Council Technology Committee has had two full committee telephonic meetings since the January JC meeting and a number of smaller group meetings and meetings attended by the Chair and the Vice Chair. At the March 18th meeting, we discussed the Technology Planning Task Force, Technology Governance Committee Review, the Judicial Branch Technology Initiatives Working Group and Workstream Efforts, the Court Technology Advisory Committee Annual Agenda, and the Remote Video Proceedings Pilot Project, which Fresno began in April, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. The Technology Committee also approved a recommendation to distribute $600,000 in funds to 25 of the 42 jury projects involving technological support. At the April 22nd meeting, there was a progress report on the appellate e-filing project. The request for proposal generated eight responses for a no-cost to the branch solution, and seven of those are viable choices. Demonstrations were held in San Francisco last week for all eight vendors, and the next evaluation team meeting is May 2nd, 2013. A selection of vendors is expected the week of May 6, 2013. This pilot will begin in the first district, but will be available to other districts if they choose to use the service, as well as to the Supreme Court once the program goes live later this year. An update on the jury grant distribution project was provided by Mark Dussman. 20 courts receiving funding will be receiving funding for jury systems, and they have been notified, and funding is being moved to their budget. We discussed a proposal by Ventura and San Diego counties to add family law and juvenile dependency case types to the V3 civil case management system. And because of the unfortunate disinformation that's been spread on this issue recently, I want to carefully trace the history and the context of this issue for the council and for those that are listening on the audio feed. I'll start out by stating that this issue did not originate with the Technology Committee or with the council. It originated from a number of V3 trial courts. As council members will recall, in July 2012, the legislature directed the branch to spend no more funds on V4 without approval of the legislature. None have been expended. However, the legislature also directed the council to continue to maintain V3. V3 is the legacy system that is presently managing 25% of the branch's civil and small claims caseload. Thereafter, as I've noted, in mid-2012, several of the V3 courts communicated an interest in expanding V3 to include other case types. The V3 courts then participated in one of the Judicial Branch Technology Initiative Working Group work streams in order to attempt to come to a collective decision on the future of V3, including the addition of additional case types. And that working group, by the way, is composed of representatives from numerous trial courts. By early March of this year, 2013, the work stream leads informed the Technology Committee that no consensus could be reached on the issue of expanding case types. The Technology Committee, as part of its due diligence and technology oversight role, then solicited the views of the V3 courts on case type expansion. We did so because we believe it's important to review requests of the trial courts regarding technology issues, and this council knows that there are numerous requests or proposals from trial courts have come before the Technology Committee and onto the council, such as the Fresno Project, Kings County's need for a replacement case management system, et cetera. We feel that it's part of our service to the trial courts to address and evaluate these requests. The last response came only last Friday from one of the V3 courts. Two courts, San Diego and Ventura, requested to expand the V3 civil small claims, management system by adding family law and juvenile dependency. Three courts, Sacramento, San Joaquin, and Orange, did not want to expand case types for V3. In addition, those courts have expressed strong reservations about case type expansion based on the view that the effort might divert AOC staff resources from routine maintenance of V3 and impact non-participating trial court resources because of the need for those courts to participate in a larger-than-usual testing effort called regression testing. The Technology Committee did not make a decision for a recommendation to the council on case type expansion at this last meeting, but has, in fact, requested additional information to be reviewed by the Technology Committee sometime next week. And we will, of course, report to the branch on our recommendation to the council after our careful review and analysis. I do want to emphasize that the Technology Committee process in reviewing this trial court request is similar to that employed by the Court Facilities Working Group. Our recommendation will be based on a cost-benefit analysis, taking into account an array of factors, including the viable lifespan of V3, the cost to the branch in dollars and staff time of expanding case types, the diversion of staff effort from other projects, the impact on non-participating V3 courts, and the legislative framework addressing V3. In addition to the full technology committee meetings, regular checkpoint meetings have been conducted with information technology service offices staff and various members of the technology committee, including our vice chair, Justice Ashman Gerst, Judge Moss is chair of the working group, and Judge Kaufman. A subcommittee of the technology committee, including Justice Ashman Gerst and Judge Elias in the chair, has met a number of times to review the work plans and governance structures of the various committees, subcommittees, and working groups involved in technology. The chair has also regularly communicated with Justice Berniers and members of court technology advisory committees. I made a presentation at their last meeting on March 7th, and Judge Moss attends all of their meetings as liaison. In addition, Justice Berniers attends all of the technology committee meetings as well as various other subordinate meetings in order to keep abreast, and so we have an open line of communication. On April 19th, the chair attended an all-day quarterly meeting of the Trial Court Information Technology Forum in a humble village on the Central Coast called Santa Barbara, and it's composed of an independent group of trial court IT officers, as everyone knows. A theme of that meeting was the need for collaborative efforts among the trial courts, the AOC, and the council to move forward with technology initiatives and improvements. The Judicial Branch Technology Initiatives Working Group, chaired by Judge Moss. I'd ask Judge Moss to provide an update.
Sure. Thank you, Judge Herman. About a year ago, maybe 13 months ago, when CCMS was taken offline, the council directed the Technology Committee, then known as the CCMS Executive Committee, to investigate five areas of concern. These directives were handed to the Technology Initiatives Working Group, and the approach that we used, I think, was a very good one, and it was the brainchild of Robert O. Young, who is the CIO of Santa Clara County. And that was, for each directive, we created a work stream. Work stream is synonymous with project. Robert O. Young and the rest of the working group came up with lead persons for each of the work streams, and they proceeded to advance the directives that were made. These directives were, one, to come up with a technology roadmap, that is, where do we go in the wake of CCMS? Number two, to come up with an RFP, a universal RFP that any court could use to acquire a case management system if they need replacement. Three, a roadmap for e-filing for courts that are interested in achieving e-filing. Four, to come up with what do we do with V2 and V4, the interim systems that CCMS V4 was supposed to replace. And five, can we use any components of V4, such as portals and things like that, instead of just putting them on a shelf? Well, the last of those roadmaps was quickly put to rest when we had no funding to investigate V4. We had to maintain a computer environment to test and analyze V4, and there was no funding for that. So we did not proceed with that work stream. The roadmap work stream was chaired by Jake Chatters, the CEO of Placer County, and Judge Glenn Reiser of Ventura County. And a paper was published kind of outlining the work stream's suggestion for where do we go from here. In a nutshell, and this is a very brief one-sentence summary of their conclusion, is that technology projects should be classified as local projects or statewide projects. Local projects should be funded by local funds, their allocation, and statewide projects should be funded statewide. That paper, which is available to everyone to see on the website, is the kind of the basis, the foundation for the technology task force, which is now looking at a governance structure and a tactical plan and a business plan and strategy to advance where we go from here. So that was a very important first step in outlining what our plan is from this point forward. The CCMS RFP project or work stream was headed by Heather Pettit and Robert O. Young. Heather Pettit is the CIO of Sacramento. And they've done a fabulous job. They took RFPs from other counties, from the National Center for State Courts, and they have developed an RFP so that any court, any one of the 58 counties, they don't have to, but if they wish to acquire a new CMS system, they don't have to publish their own RFP. They can go to this universally adapted RFP and use this and the vendors that we have selected if they choose to without going through that process. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. So the vendors that they finally came up with, this was a very, very lengthy process, were Tyler Technologies, Justice Systems, and Thomas Reuters. Tyler Tech just signed the MSA April 22nd. Justice Systems signed on April 24th of this year. And Thomas Reuters has just received on April 24th the final version, and we're waiting for them to sign off. Once this is done, any court can use this RFP if they need to acquire a CMS. And all of the CEOs and PJs will be notified when this is finally completed so they can utilize this RFP. The next work stream was an e-filing plan, and that project was chaired by Snorri Ogata of Orange County and Alan Carlson. And the e-filing plan came up with two documents. One is called the destination, and this involves strategic considerations for e-filing within the California trial courts. And this document is more for the judge, the layperson who's not a techie, as to how you get from here to there, how you get to e-filing. Because e-filing, remember, is one of the big payoffs of the technology system, a case management system. If you just start a case management system and add it to your paper system, you're going to spend more money, not save money. But when you get to e-filing and when you eliminate paper, that's when you can save money with these projects. So this tells you how you get to that point. The second paper was a roadmap and playbook document, electronic filing roadmap and e-filing guide for California trial courts. And this is more of a technical document for the technical people that literally lays out in schematic form the hardware that you need, the software that you need, everything that you need to achieve this system. It was a wonderful project and a wonderful end result. And those documents are also available on the website. And last but not least is the V2, V3 work stream. The V2 solution was easy. Fresno decided, who's the only court that had V2, has decided to replace that with another CMS, so that is not an issue for us to worry about any longer. V3 was difficult. There are five courts, although, as Judge Herman mentioned, this represents 25% of our civil filings in California. There are five courts using V3. The five courts could not agree. They could not reach consensus. Judge Herman's already alluded to that, on whether each court should be given the V3 code and allowed to do what they want to do with that system, or whether it should be maintained centrally as it is now. And also there's the issue of whether we can expand V3 to include additional case types. The courts could not reach consensus on those, but I don't consider that a failure. I think at least we know that there is no consensus, and that's an issue that the Technology Committee is struggling with right now and trying to come up with some recommendations. So that's it on the work streams. I do want to commend Robert O. Young, Jake Chatters, Snorri Ogata, Alan Carlson, Heather Pettit. These are just the tips of the iceberg. This project used trial court people, and we have tremendous talent out there in technology and administration, and they all just came on board and pitched in, and we met every week, just about every week. I think we had telephonic meetings, and Judge Herman was there at almost all of them. I think he was there at all of them. And I also want to mention the AOC. This was not without AOC involvement. Mark Dussman, Renee Stewart, and Jessica Cravens, and many others contributed their efforts and helped guide us along, and were very cooperative in trying to achieve this end. And I commend them all for their service, and I think that's a good summary of where we are.
Thank you, Judge Moss. I want to add to that. In addition, the AOC staff also developed the prototype for the RFP as well, and assisted in that effort. And I also want to again congratulate this group. Judge Moss's work is the National Court Court Information Officer Group has just recognized the California e-filing roadmap, which Judge Moss mentioned is a terrific piece of work that the National Center for State Courts is using as they develop their next batch of e-filing guides. And in addition, one of the Conference of State Court Administrators board members indicated that their e-filing working group was extensively using information from that document as well. So, again, my congratulations on this specific recognition to Rob O'Young and Ellen Krause, and, of course, everyone who's worked on the e-filing roadmap. And, again, thanks to Judge Moss for his leadership and the support of AOC staff. This sort of segues into the Technology Planning Task Force because we learned a lot, I think, from the deliverables, meaning the stuff that the working group has produced in terms of designing a technology project so that they are specifically focused, have timelines to achieve the deliverables, and then sunset at the end of achieving those deliverables, and then leveraging their work product. And for the Technology Planning Task Force, as Judge Moss mentioned, we'll be leveraging the Vision and Roadmap workstream efforts. The task force was, of course, appointed by the Chief Justice in February of this year and held its face-to-face kickoff meeting here February 27th, and then met by phone on March 18th and April 23rd as a whole group. The task force is charged with working collaboratively with the courts and stakeholders to define branch technology governance, and to develop strategic and tactical technology plans across all court levels, and really with a big focus on the funding piece, which I'll talk about in a minute. To accomplish all of this within a one-year time frame, three individual tracks were launched, a governance track with lead facilitator being Jake Chatters, CEO from Placer, a strategic planning track led by Brian Cota, CIO of Fresno, and the funding track led by Judge Marcia Slew, presiding judge for County of San Bernardino. And membership of this task force, as the council's previously been informed, is broad-based in terms of representative courts. We have a total. We've got the original 19 members who are the core, but then in order to keep everybody up to speed throughout the branch with what we're doing, we've got another 27 associate members. We've got 41 folks that are working together, moving these tracks down the road. Members in their representative capacities will be required to seek input and to report to their constituencies. And again, this is part of the council's charge to us to make sure that in any go-forward effort relative to technology, we get the input and buy-in from the courts. All three tracks, and in addition to the meetings of the entire group, all three tracks have met a number of times in order to move forward with the planning task force objectives, and we are on track to complete on time and make deliverables for the benefit of the courts. All right. The final thing is the Fresno remote video proceedings pilot project, which the council approved the amended rule of court February 1st of this year. And the amendment allows all trial courts to implement remote video pilot projects. Fresno has already launched in April at three locations: Fresno, Mendota. Am I saying that right, Judge Justice Baxter?
Mendota,
and Coalinga. And criteria is that the defendants must travel in excess of 15 miles from where the citation was issued. A variety of services are offered, including arraignments, case calendaring, 30-day extensions, first-come, first-served walk-ins, access to forms, information on hearings via the remote video on the same day or on separate days if that's requested, and there are interpreters on request at remote sites, no money transactions at the remote sites. The project has really generated a tremendous amount of interest from trial courts with closed remote courthouses, and it's just a great example of court initiative on e-business practices that quickly move through process and will benefit numerous courts. I had the opportunity when the CIO meeting was held in Santa Barbara last week to look at a demonstration, and it's extremely effective, and the technology is very inexpensive. In fact, they're using off-the-shelf video cameras at $150 a piece, which is about as good as it gets in terms of technology cost. So I'd like to close again by thanking Mark Dessman and all of the Information Technology Services Office of staff. They are really doing more with less, and the Legal Services Office staff, and, of course, all the members of our Technology Committee. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Herman. Thank you, Judge Moss, for that report.